I was buried.
I was buried in thee, my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I
Good morning, church. As you continue to find a seat, hey, it is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. And so, hey, do not forget, this morning we are having our camp presentation. So I think you're in for a treat here from CentraKid. And unfortunately, youth students, some of them who wanted to share were not able to be here this morning. You'll get to see a video of youth camp. But hey, don't forget, if you are watching us online, be sure to like, subscribe, we call it, repost it. And so, and also if you need help with the phone line, be sure the number that you can call for that phone line is 931-455-0645. Call the church and we can help you get and receive the message through the phone. This is always a hard part, right, Brother Mike? And so try to remember how, you know, Pastor just flies through the announcements. But when you think about it, be sure to be praying for the kids today as they come up, and I think you'll be blessed by that. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy today. And Lord, we thank you for all that you've done this past week in the lives of students and the lives of the people here in this congregation. God, you have been gracious and merciful to us. And Lord, as we come here today, we worship you and you alone. God, help us to turn off the distractions in our heads. May our hearts be in tune with yours. And God, that we would be here today to hear from you. And Lord, that we would not allow the things of this world to cause us from walking in obedience unto you, Lord. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus down the cross for our sins. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Oh, also real quick, there will be no children's church today. We will stay in here. So if you do need a children's bulletin, you can have pick up right here on the window. So thank you.
I don't realize how hard it's hard to hear, but when you're back here, I don't know why. But anyway, glad to see everybody this morning. And if you would, since I don't have my crutch behind me, they're either sick, vacationing, or not even around. So I don't have that, and I don't like hearing me sing, so I want to hear you sing. So if you would, stand up, and let's sing hymn 581. We have heard the joyful sound, first, second, and fourth verse.
Open with me in your bulletins to our missionary moment. We want to pray for Andy and Tabitha Daniel as they are in Box Elder, South Dakota, and continue to be praying for the Daniels as they begin a homeless ministry in Rapid City. And what started with outreach teams has grown into a Sunday bus ministry that brings a dozen of homeless individuals to church each week, followed by a meal. So let's pray for that, the Daniel family, as well as our Moldova missionaries. And one of our own, at least Dwayne, is going on our Association Calgary mission trip. Is there anyone else who is going? Oh, no. And so be praying for Dwayne Thames as he heads out Saturday. And so, and they'll be in Calgary. Be praying for them as they minister to the people there and share the gospel of Jesus. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Daniel family and the ministry they are doing in South Dakota. God, we continue to pray that you would continue to bless the works of their hands for your glory. God, we praise you for over 100 baptisms since 2022. And we just pray that you would be with them and continue to send workers and laborers to help them reach the people there in Box Elder. God, we thank you for all that they're doing. And we also lift up to you Dwayne and the team that's going to Calgary. God, we pray you bless them and help them as they go about sharing the gospel in a place that there are very far and few who have ever heard the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask your blessings to be upon them. And Lord, as they minister together, God, that they would be a team in unity and working together, because we know that the enemy desires to see these things fall apart and teams to crumble. But God, we just pray your blessings and that they would be united in you. Thank you for their faithfulness. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, as we continue on, don't forget this week is Prime Timers, July 14th at noon. Please sign up. The meal will be catered by Mom and Me Meals to Go. So, also coming up this Friday is our lemonade stand for the Isaiah 117 house. If you are interested in helping out with donated goods, any muffins or cookies, something that to that effect that we could sell to help raise money. And if you would like to come and help us with that, you know, feel free to. And it will be donation only. But all proceeds will go to the Isaiah 117 house to help them as they continue to minister to kids in our area. And don't forget, our Youth Night of Worship is coming up on July 29th. And this will be our first event for those who are moving up to the youth department from 5th into 6th grade. So I would love for us to all go to this together. And so I am required to be there, and it will be a Wednesday night. And so I'm asking parents, if you can get your students there, that would be a blessing. If they do need a ride, let me know. I have a few spots available. But we want to let this be the first event as students move up into the youth group that they can be a part of. And as well as that first weekend in August is our Sunday school promotion. And so if you got any questions about that, let me know. And as we continue on in worship, Brother Mike will come on up.
Bea and I heard everything he said, so you did something. Now, you did so well on that last song. I'd love to hear you sing again on this one. Next hymn that we're going to sing is 337, and I'm going to introduce it like it's sung. I know whom I have believed. So let's sing that song. I know whom I believe. Through my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed it, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And since we're not having the children's church, I won't go that direction. If you would now, and please stand with us and sing hymn 122. Tell me the story of Jesus, 122. Ladies.
Please stand and sing our camp theme song with us. It is called Author of All Things.
Thank you. in the palm of your hand, author of all things. For from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen. From him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen. Author of all things. From creation to our salvation, you hold the future in the palm of your hand, author of all things. For from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen. From him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen. Author of all things. You wrote the plan, you paved the way, you sent your son to take our place. When the page turns and the story ends, we'll find it just really begins. For from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen. In the palm of your hand, author of all things.
For from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen. From him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. Amen. Author of all things.
Well, now I get to go. Hi, my name is Livy, and I'm wanted to thank our chaperones, Miss Leah, Miss Mindy, and Miss Karen for taking us and making it fun and helping me with my wild hair. Thank you, church, for supporting us to be able to go to church camp or to go to camp. Our memory verse was, "From him and to him and through him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." What that means is that God is the author of all things, and he created everything and made everything happen in our lives, good or bad. But he had a reason. What I learned the most is the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is something that it's a feeling. You just feel it. It comes to you. But joy is something that you choose, whether it's something that's in good times or bad times. Doesn't really matter. But I know this, that God will always be there no matter what in your life. I am so excited for next year at Center Kid. I can't wait to be with all my buds. Thank you very much.
My favorite thing that I did at Center Kid was get to learn more about Jesus and do what we see. I loved having basketball and soccer as my tracks because they were my two favorite sports. I was really happy when my color team won the Golden Can of Shaving Cream. It was fun getting to play different games in rec, and we even got to do fun stuff in Bible study. My favorite part about worship was getting to sing songs and watch Peach. I also loved that after church group time, we got to play in the big field. I had so much fun at Center Kids.
The theme for Center Kid was Storyteller, and they talked about how you can get through whatever you go through with God when he's by your side. And I'm glad that I had Weird Science as my track B, because I got to play with all my friends. We got to eat Play-Doh, and we made a DNA symbol with candy, and it was some good candy. My favorite part was worship, because I like singing and dancing with my friends. I love hangout time because I love to run around and meet new friends and play other games. I want to thank the chaperones for taking us, and they made it a really good time. And also thank you, church, for allowing us to go and playing and praying for us.
As you see, they had a great time at camp, and they got to worship the Lord and grow in their walk with the Lord. And so we are glad that they had the opportunity. And church, thank you again for all your hard work in helping us with the fundraisers and all that we got to help raise money for camp. And so at this time, we're going to show you the theme video for a youth camp this year. It was called For All. And so watch this video, and then we're going to show a slideshow. And then I have some more things to tell you.
For the angry, the abandoned, the broken and battered, champions, defenders, for the evildoers, the failures, the God-fearers and the hard-hearted, the isolated, the joy-filled and the kind-hearted, the lonely, mistreated, needy, the offensive, or the positive, the questioners, or the radicals, the strong, the truthful, the unlovable, the vain, the washed up, the exceptional, the yearners, the zealous. The gospel is not just for some. Some people, in some places, battling some struggles. It is for all.
flowers in all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, you know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all when you're faithful to supply everything I need?
Saw two of our own students accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and what a blessing it was to be a part of that. And yes, it looks like we go and we have a lot of fun, but the purpose of the camp this year is connect, and for students to connect to one another and connect to Jesus through different team building activities and games. And so when we think about the opportunity that they get, it is a whole week solely focused on spending time with other Christians in the Word, and not allowing the things of this world to be a distraction. And sometimes that does happen, but we can focus on the Lord when we set our minds and hearts to it. And the same goes for even in our day-to-day. And so, if you would, open up with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and if you get a chance and you see a youth walking around, ask them about camp, because you know they're a little terrified to come up here. For some reason, hey, when they're down there, they're not terrified. When they go to youth, they get a little bit more terrified to speak. So, hey, great job, girls, on talking. So I'm proud of y'all. And so if you get an opportunity, ask them, hey, what was important? What stood out to you about camp this year? How did it impact your walk with the Lord? And so I want to encourage you to put them on the spot, ask them, all right? They probably won't like me saying that, but that's okay. When you get to 1 Timothy chapter 2, go ahead and stand with me as we read the Word of God in honor of the Word of God. We are looking at verses 3 through 6. This was our theme this year in For All. It says this: "This is good, and it pleases our God, it pleases God, our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time." Let's pray. God, we give you praise and we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who dwells in each believer here. He leads us and guides us and helps us to make the choices that are God-honoring. And Lord, I pray that as we are sitting here today and there's someone who doesn't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, that, Lord, your Spirit would move them to see their need for you. And God, that you would open up the eyes of their heart, God, and they would turn their life to you. And Lord, I pray, too, for the Christian here today who is going through things in life that it just seems hopeless. It's just hard. Life is weighing them down. But God, they would be encouraged that you are there in the midst of the storm and you are with them. And Lord, that we can always point to your word that brings us the hope that we have in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The book of Timothy is one that was written by Paul, and Timothy, a young disciple of Paul, has been placed at the church in Ephesus. And Paul considers Timothy to be a spiritual son in the faith and gives him instructions in this letter to help him appoint church leaders and members and teach them how to obey and do church God's way. Because Paul spends a significant amount of time explaining how to grow and develop leaders in the church, he focuses on the function and the responsibility of the leaders. We see in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul writes this: "I have written so that you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God." We see that when we gather together, there is to be order, there is to be instruction. It's not to be a place of chaos. You know, worship is meant to be good, not boring, not a time of, I can't wait for this to be over, but it's time for you to connect with the Lord, with other believers in Christ. In God's household, we see, we ought to see the fruit of the Spirit carried out amongst one another. Here we should see love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control displayed amongst one another. In chapter 1, Paul warns that false doctrine and the misuse of God's word do exactly what is opposite of what God intends. We are not to add to God's word, nor are we to teach that simple obedience brings salvation. That is not what the true gospel teaches. We are called to protect the gospel. We're called to defend the gospel, teach the gospel, live out the gospel. Let the gospel be the motivation for why we do what we do. We go to camp. Why? Not to just have fun, but to hear the gospel, to know the gospel, to share the gospel. We celebrate what the gospel is doing in our day-to-day life. We live our lives to know God and make him known. That is our purpose in life. Paul urges Timothy to fight the good fight as he leads the church. The church should proclaim the gospel despite what the culture of the world deems as right. That is true today. What the culture calls political issues are honestly biblical issues that have been corrupted by the world. For the only thing that unites the people of God is the gospel. The only thing that unites the sinner to the Savior is the gospel. And whatever we do, we must hold on to the gospel. The gospel is worth guarding and defending. It is because of the gospel that we celebrate for eternity if you are saved. And in chapter 2, where our main passage is going to be today, Paul urges Timothy and leaders that we must start with prayer. Read with me chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. First of all, then, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. The first thing I want you to see today is that we are to pray for all. In these verses, Paul, we see the mission. Paul shows us the mission. Be praying for everyone. Pray on behalf of others, for others, intercede for others, no matter their status. It doesn't even matter if you like them or not. You are called to pray for them. Paul says that the church is to be praying and living with godliness and dignity. That is a call to you, the body of Christ, and how you live. To live godly is to be about the things of God. We are expected to live under the authority of God by God Himself. Scripture is that authority that we base our life off of. Everything we say and do should come from what does Scripture have to say about that? The church is to be an example of Christ to the lost world. If you do not live godly and with dignity, it does not show who God is. And this is one of the main reasons Paul writes Timothy to train up good leaders who are qualified to be elders and deacons in the church. One pastor said this, that the church is on a life-saving mission surrounded by people who don't know the salvation of Jesus Christ. These people are destined for an eternal hell if nothing changes. So as a follower of Christ, what do? You pray. It is the easiest thing you do. And I would add to that, you go and tell them about Jesus. While we currently have the freedom to live out our faith in America, there will come a time when persecution will be the norm and sharing our faith will have greater consequences than it does now. We must continue to pray for peace, but also pray for those who are being persecuted for their faith. Our brothers and sisters in Christ who, because they are sharing the gospel, experience hardship. One of the early church fathers, John Chrysostom, said, "It is much more difficult to hate someone when you are praying for them." Prayer has a two-way effect. It affects those that we pray for, and it also affects ourselves. Why? It's not because of the words we say, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit moving in and out of our prayers. It's no surprise that Paul's encouragement for the church is to pray for all and to live life all for the glory of God. A.B. Simpson, who is the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, was said to wake up in the morning and bow his knee, clutch a globe, and weep in prayer. What if that was a picture of what our lives looked like as we woke up each morning? What is the first thing that we go to cling to when we wake up? Prayer is highly and essential to our walk with God. And if I'm honest, I don't do it enough. Prayer brings us into the presence of God. Prayer moves us into alignment with God's will. And when we pray, the Holy Spirit helps us to submit to God's authority and experience His love, grace, and mercy. We pray for all because, as we continue, we need to rely on God to help us throughout the day. Paul tells us that, again, I urge that petitions, prayer, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Who do you need to be praying for this week? Is it a coworker? Is it a family member? Perhaps it's someone here in this building. And I want to encourage you, if you don't know how to pray, think of it in this way, that you are simply talking to a friend. Get in a place where you can be alone. Maybe it's a bedroom. Maybe it's outside. You know, find a place where it can be just you and the Lord and spend time just talking to God and being honest with what's on your heart. God can handle it. Look at verses 3 through 4 with me. It says this, This is good and it pleases God our Savior when we pray, right? So look again. It says, first of all, I urge you to pray. And what does Paul say in verse 3? When we live in godliness and dignity, this is good. It pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And so the second thing we see, not only do we pray for all, but we should desire for all to be saved and know the truth. Here in verses 3 and 4, we see why we ought to pray. When we pray and live as we should, Paul is clear that God is pleased. It should be a desire of our hearts to please God with what we do, with what we think, with what we say. Paul is clear, again, it pleases God when we live according to his way. God knows what happens when Christians live and act like Christ. It brings about change. When you live your life in such a way that it honors Christ, people notice that. And people wonder and ask, well, what's different? Well, it's Jesus. It's important to highlight that even though God wants everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, the reality is not all will be saved. It doesn't mean that you stop praying. Scripture is clear that we are only saved by grace through faith in Christ, and only those who trust in Jesus as the Son of God will experience salvation and eternal life in heaven. He said in John 3:36 that the one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who rejects the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. When we reject Christ, we continue in our lostness, and the wrath of God is upon us. If you leave today and Jesus is not Lord and Savior of your life, you're ultimately rejecting him every day that you live until you surrender your life to Christ. And you are still guilty of your sin. You will receive God's judgment for your sin. And that is God's eternal wrath in hell. Another argument that has been made is that if God does desire all to be saved and all are not saved, and if God does desire all to be saved and not all are saved, then ultimately God is in control of everything in the world. Is not in control of everything in the world. And that is simply not true either. We see in Scripture from the beginning, from Genesis through Revelation, that God is sovereign over all things. And man's responsibility and God's sovereignty is often a hot topic of debate. And we allow it to become an issue because why? Because we want to be right on our side. And there's no doubt that there is a mystery when it comes to human responsibility and God's sovereignty. How those things fit when it comes to salvation, it is a mystery. But we know that God is in control. We know that God's will is good and pleasing and perfect, as we see in Romans 12:2. And it's because God desires for all to be saved that it should be the foundation of our prayer. We should be praying for the salvation of others. When you pray for the lost, whether it's a family member, a friend, a child, a co-worker, your enemy, or those who are hostile to the gospel, pray knowing that God loves and desires them to be saved. And I want to encourage you now to, if you're passing notes, if you're not listening, that you would hear what I'm saying. And that if you understand the importance of this sermon, that we need to be praying for the lost, that we need to be sharing the gospel with the lost. Because listen, in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Why? God wants to be in relationship with you. You are here this morning because God knew you would be here, and he wanted you here so that you could hear that you need to be saved, that you need Christ in your life, not the things of this world, not the cell phone in your hand, but you need Christ. And I want to encourage you that if you would surrender your life to Christ, if you would understand the importance of what Jesus did for you on the cross, you would find life a little bit easier to get through because there is hope. And in the Old Testament, through the prophet Ezekiel, God calls on Israel, his chosen people, to repent. Tell them, as I live, this is the declaration of the Lord God. I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked person should turn from his way and what? Live. Because if you not are not in Christ, the Bible says that you are dead in your transgressions. You find life when you give your life over to the Lord. He says, repent, repent of your evil ways. Why will you die, house of Israel? Why do you choose death over life? God is saying, the call to turn back, to draw near, to leave sin, and to find salvation is all throughout the Bible. The problem with people then and still today is they think that we don't need to be saved. Or we have convinced ourselves that because we've grown up in church, or we have or in a Christian family, that salvation is passed down to us. And that is not the case. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. If it were so, then there would be no need to pray for people to be saved. Paul tells us that there is truth that we need to know about. Right, he wants us to come to a knowledge of the truth in verse 4. And the truth is that we are dead in our sins, slave to sin, and we can dim ourselves by not choosing Jesus. And even as professed Bible-believing Christians, we still today choose our sin over our Savior. We need to understand the truth, as Paul says, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Our sin leaves us in a place of eternal separation from God. Nothing we do can fill the gap. Not even perfect church attendance, good works, or even saying, yeah, I said a sinner's prayer one time. I checked all the boxes. You know who we sound like then? We sound like the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. Verses 16 through 22. I don't have it on the slides, but turn with me there in your Bible. It says, just then someone came up and asked him, teacher, talking to Jesus, what good must I do to have eternal life? Why do you ask me what is good? He said to him, there is only one who is good. If you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He asked. Jesus answered, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Love your neighbor as yourself. He responds by saying, I've kept all these, the young man told Jesus. What do I still lack? If you want to be perfect, Jesus said, go, sell your belongings, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come, follow me. When the young man heard that, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Notice what the rich young ruler makes salvation all about. It was all about what he could achieve. Not about what he may lose. All about checking off all the boxes of what he was supposed to do. His possessions were more important than truly giving his whole life to Jesus. The man thought, what good thing must I still do to earn eternal life? Instead of telling him point blank, you can't do anything, what does Jesus do? Look at it. He points the man to his sin. He checked the box. Well, his love for possessions was far greater than his love for God. He checked the box of what he had no problem doing. I have no problem not murdering, not lying, not stealing. No problem honoring my father and mother. But when it came down to obedience and understanding that my sin is keeping me from God, my love for other things, my love for certain friends, my love for a relationship, my love for, you know, fill in the blank, whatever it may be in your life, when it came to obedience and understanding that my sin is keeping me from God, then he says, ultimately, I'm going to stick with my sin. But why would he choose death over life? Status, wealth, Perhaps these are some things that he had. He loved what those things provided him. Perhaps power, prestige, the way he looked in others' eyes. Until we acknowledge our sin problem, we cannot understand why we need to be rescued. It is only by God's grace that he shows us the sin in our lives and our need for Jesus. And this is why we pray. God, open my eyes to the sin I've committed against you. Help me know what it is I'm doing that maybe I don't even realize is sinful. God, forgive me. Jesus, I need you to save me, to rescue me from my sin. God knew we needed rescuing long before we would ever know it ourselves. And Christian, don't let anything keep you from going to the lost, for you have the message with the power to rescue them, the gospel. Notice what Paul says in our next truth in verses 5 through 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. Our third point this morning is that Jesus gave his life for all. Paul's words are clear. There's only one mediator, one way, one person, one truth, one life that brings us back into relationship with God. What is the job of the mediator? Well, it is someone who brings two divided parties together. One pastor said, a man stands condemned under the righteousness wrath of a holy God, and only Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the God-man, being fully God and fully man, because of his divine nature, he is sinless. And because of his human nature, he can serve as a substitutionary sacrifice for sinful humans, meaning he took our place on the cross. We deserved death, not Jesus. And through his sacrifice and death on the cross, Jesus satisfies the wrath of God that is due to us. But to receive the benefits of this sacrifice, you must believe by faith and trust in Jesus. We said it and read it earlier, Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from work, so that no one can boast. See, God knows that we will be like the rich young ruler if salvation was up to us. We're going to brag about all we've done if we could earn salvation, and how far greater we are than the person sitting next to us, behind us, in the balcony, on the floor. We're going to brag about ourselves. But God leaves it to where no one has a right to brag about anything other than him. Because to accept the gift, what do we have to say? Not Jesus, but Jesus is to be king of my life. Not I, but Jesus. Jesus, you are to be king over my life. And sometimes for us as believers, we kind of lose sight of that. We think our life is horrible, it's terrible, it's filled with so much trouble. And perhaps you are going through some things in life that are difficult. But then I ask you, who are you allowing to sit on the throne of your heart? Are you allowing the circumstances you're in? Or are you praying to the one who can help you in the midst of those circumstances? Sometimes I think we don't fully grasp the weight of our sin. We live in a culture of fast food and instant gratification, and it's easy to say, I'm sorry for what I did, and not actually realize what it is that's happening when we do sin. I think about this in my own life, my own sin. John MacArthur said, don't ever think of your sin in relation to how bad others are. Always think of your sin in relation to how holy God is. In doing so, when I first read this, it was like a punch between the eyes, right? It got my attention. It's easy for us to say, well, I'm not as bad as that person that did this thing, but I am, because I've also sinned against a holy and righteous God. How quick we can be to compare our sins to one another and miss the reality of what my sin has cost my family, perhaps my neighbors, my friends, more importantly, what it's cost in my relationship with God. It hinders that relationship for us as believers. And Jesus is unique in that, not only in who he is, but in what he does, because he is God. And he is not just the one who brings me back into relationship with himself, but he lives as our mediator. He intercedes for us. And through him, relationships can be restored. Not just between me and God, but me and you, me and parents, you and your parents, you and your friendships, the one in this room that you haven't talked to because you've been upset with them because they did whatever it was. Relationships can be restored. It's because of Jesus we can do what Hebrews 4:16 tells us, that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. And this is possible, why? Only because of Jesus can you approach the throne room of God in prayer. This all took place not at a random time in history, but at a time that God had already planned. We see that in verse 6. Who gave himself as a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time, it tells us. And Paul writes that he had it planned long before you were even on the face of the earth. Paul goes on into verse 7, showing Timothy that it's because of this, the gospel, and what Jesus did is what makes him now a messenger of the gospel. And this is the pattern for us as believers. If you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have heard the gospel. You have believed the gospel. You are being changed by the gospel. You are to be a teacher of the gospel by sharing the gospel. And this is the role of the church as leaders, making disciples, living out the gospel. And so as we close this morning, I want to encourage you with this, in this invitation. You'll have an opportunity to respond to what you've heard today, both you who don't know Christ and you believer. The gospel is for all. Despite what is going on around you and in your situations, some of you it seems like there's no way to turn for help. You think there is no hope, but there is hope. It's Jesus. All hope is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, who was born as a baby, grew as a man, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for you and for me. He rose again on the third day, defeating sin and death, so that we could be saved. Have you decided to surrender all for Jesus, who gave all? And Christian, is there something you need to lay down at the altar today? Or maybe you need to spend some time where you're sitting, praying, thanking God that he gave you today, thanking God that he saved you. Whatever it may be, now is the time to respond. Brother Mike, as you come and lead us in our invitational hymn, be asking the Lord now, what is it, Lord, that you're showing me? I want to encourage you not to be a distraction to others. Don't talk to others. Just talk to between you and the Lord. What is it God is saying to you? Perhaps it's a call to salvation. I'll be standing down here at the bottom of the stairs. If you need to surrender your life to Christ, I would be more than glad to help you and show you how to do that. But maybe you just need to take some time and pray between you and the Lord. Maybe now is the time that you ask the Lord to show you what's on your heart, what's on your mind. Surrender that to him. Lord, we just come before you. And as we go in a time of invitation and as we sing, Lord, I pray that we would not lose sight of the gospel. It is because of our sin that you sent Jesus into the world. He died on the cross so that we could be saved. And Lord, I know that today that there's someone here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. God, I pray if there's students here tonight or this morning who don't know you as Lord and as their Lord and Savior, God, they would do that. That God, if there's someone here today who's struggling, who's fighting, and things in life just seem difficult and hard, that God, you would remind them that you love them, that you are with them, and that you will never forsake them. So Lord, we surrender this time into your hands. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I have decided to follow. Glad to have a lot of youth and Century Kid kids going to camp. That's a very big blessing that our church has, and a lot of church growth comes from that. So keep them in your prayers as they go through their year and continue to get discipled by the church. Be in prayer for those that are traveling. You got Brother Wayne traveling with a mission trip. You got Brother Duane traveling for the mission trip. Some people traveling to Wayne's retirement, and Pastor Jim and his family from coming back. Also be reminded, there is a Youth Lake Day Saturday, so if your youth need a ride, see Pastor Matt, contact him. He'll figure out how to get them there. If not, get your youth there at 8:30 at Bluegill Marina to have a fun lake day. And with that, we'll close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and are so blessed that we've had this opportunity to worship you corporately, Lord. We just thank you for the things that you've given us, the people, the facilities, and the leadership teams that you've given us to do such a wonderful job in proclaiming your word, discipling us, and allowing us to go out into the world and be what Jesus Christ is for us, that light shining in darkness. We just ask you to be with us and forgive us where we fail you, Lord. And thank you so much for Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.